Welcome to this new detailed edition of the Bay Pay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is April 7, 2020. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Etisalat, Nor Bank tie up with MoneyGram for cross-border remittances through e-wallet. Publix rolls out contactless pay to all stores. Swiggy receives additional $43 million in Series 1 round. Curve announces it will offer cards that are numberless. Airbnb receives $1 BLN from Silver Lake and Sixth Street Partners. Australian merchant Kmart launches a new system for online shoppers. Coronavirus pandemic causes 60% rise in online shopping in Finland. HUMBL partners One Kiosk to pilot its services in Nigeria. Visa increases contactless payment limit to $250 in Canada. Voyager secures $120 MLN investment for e-wallet service. Canadian payments processor Acru acquires BNA Smart Payments. Rubian, Intertrust and others develop hardware-free MPOs for Android. MasterCard works towards facilitating contactless payment limits in Middle East and Africa. PXP Financial reveals research on generational outlook towards payments and betting. Transaction volumes rise 74% rise in March 2020 compared to last year's period. Open banking eyed to boost B2B FinServe value. Industrial operations find new revenue streams in data sharing. Bottom line CEO, how fintech gets creative to extend coronavirus relief. Now let's get started. Etisalat, Nor Bank tie up with MoneyGram for cross-border remittances through e-wallet. Digital financial services, MoneyGram have announced the launch of an international remittance service to 200 countries through an e-wallet account. Money transfers can be made digitally to over 350,000 locations including banks, counter agents and mobile wallet operators. Digital Financial Services is the joint venture conducted by United Arab Emirates-based telco Etisalat and Nor Bank. The e-wallet service is regulated and licensed by the Central Bank of the UAE. Unlike other mobile wallets and payment apps, there is no need to have a bank account, credit or debit card to do digital payments. Customers only need a valid Emirates ID and a working UAE mobile number to register for the e-wallet account. Publix rolls out contactless pay to all stores. U.S.-based grocery chain Publix has rolled out contactless payment to all stores, including its organic Greenwise market. The move is part of a strategy to protect customers and store employees from exposure to COVID-19. Publix customers can use contactless credit or debit cards, the Publix mobile app and widely used mobile wallets, including Apple Pay, Google Pay and Samsung Pay, according to a press release. The grocer, which has 1,242 stores across the Southeast, has taken several other measures to reduce spread, including, increased sanitation through regular and frequent cleaning of PIN pads, ATM terminals, door handles, carts and vending machines, installation of plexiglass shields at cash registers, pharmacies and customer service locations, among others. Swiggy receives additional $43 million in Series 1 round. India-based food delivery company Swiggy has received an additional $43 million funding in its Series 1 funding round, led by China-based internet giant Tencent. ARK Impact Investments, Korea Investment Partners, and MACM India Growth Fund also participated in the round. Prior to the current funding round, Swiggy has raised $113 million as part of its Series 1 funding round in February 2020. The round was led by existing investor Prosus NV, along with the participation of existing China-based investors Meituan Dianping and Wellington Management Company. The size of the round now stands at $156 million. Along with existing investor Tencent, new investors ARK Impact, Korea Investment Partners, Samsung Ventures, and Mirae Asset Capital Markets have participated in this closing round. Curve announces it will offer cards that are numberless. UK-based banking app Curve has announced it will start providing users with numberless cards. The new investor cards work with a chip. PIN machines or contactless technology used by merchants throughout the world access the data on the chip, but in case users will need the number, it will be stored on the Curve app. Investors from Curve's crowdfunding round that took place in September 2019 will get the new cards, which do not have the PAN, primary account number, printed on the front. Besides the change of the look, Curve says the numberless card will make online transaction easier because users will simply copy and paste the details from the app. Airbnb receives $1 BLN from Silver Lake and Sixth Street Partners. Airbnb has unveiled it will receive $1 billion from investors Silver Lake and Sixth Street Partners, as it struggles with a massive drop in business. Airbnb has suffered from the pandemic, slashing its valuation from $31 billion to $26 billion, freezing its hiring and marketing as its bookings drop. However, the two Silicon Valley investors offered the money in a combination of debt and equity securities, considering that the company's business will be sound in the long term. The new funds will include $5 million towards special relief grants to head off a growing rebellion among Airbnb hosts, who accuse it of choosing to protect travelers instead of them by unilaterally changing its cancellation policy to give full refunds at the last minute. Moreover, Airbnb said it would be switching to focus on long-term stays, such as student housing or people away from their homes on extended work assignments. Australian merchant Kmart launches a new system for online shoppers. Australia-based retailer Kmart has announced launching a virtual queue to cater to demand of amount of traffic. Kmart has launched an online queuing system to keep up with demand amid the coronavirus pandemic. The feature means potential customers have to wait before they can access the site. Official representatives have stated that the budget department store is currently experiencing a high volume of traffic, so management is trialing a queuing system to keep up with demands. The feature comes as more Australians are forced to transition to online shopping to meet the government's mandate by only leaving their homes for essential needs such as work or grocery shopping. Shoppers have slammed the feature, calling it a stupid and frustrating way to deal with the pandemic. Coronavirus pandemic causes 60% rise in online shopping in Finland. E-store platform maker Vilkas Group has estimated that e-commerce sales have gone up 60% in Finland in the last 2 weeks of March 2020. The numbers are based on the sales figures of more than 2,000 Finnish online shops. The group, which follows the e-commerce growth in Finland with its quarterly index, said the sudden spike was visible in orders although not yet in earnings. Finnish Commerce Federation has estimated that the value of Finns domestic and foreign online purchases stood at roughly 4.5 billion euros in 2019, although exact data from foreign online retailers has been difficult to obtain. Finns have resorted to online shopping after the government placed the capital region under lockdown, restricted traffic across Finland's borders, banned public meetings of more than 10 people, closed schools for most pupils and urged people to stay at home as much as possible, according to Investing.com. HUMBL partners One Kiosk to pilot its services in Nigeria. HUMBL, a U.S.-based fintech that delivers mobile payments, has teamed up with One Kiosk, a Nigeria-based fintech specialized in local merchant ordering and deliveries. It should pilot the HUMBL Mobile Pay, HUMBL POS and HUMBL Hubs delivery network, for contactless delivery of local goods and services such as groceries and pharmaceuticals. One Kiosk pairs local merchants with online ordering and delivery services, often within 1-2 kilometers of one another. It currently delivers across a network of approximately 40,000 local merchants in Nigeria. HUMBL will also deliver end-to-end HUMBL Hubs mobile ordering, payments, tipping, rating and reviews to improve customer relationship management (CRM) along with contactless one-hour click and receive delivery programs from driver to doorstep in the African corridor. The collaboration with One Kiosk comes after HUMBL announced a partnership with India's payment service Digital India Payments to help with its expansion into the country's market. Visa increases contactless payment limit to US$250 in Canada. Visa has increased its contactless payment limit in Canada to US$250, up from US$100, during the COVID-19 pandemic, iPhone in Canada reports. According to a document seen by iPhone in Canada, dated 6 April 2020, it says, effective immediately, Visa has updated the Visa Easy Payment Service (VEPS) program's contactless maximum transaction amount to CAD$250. According to Visa, this update comes in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, adding that issuers are encouraged to review their contactless limits and acquirers are encouraged to review their merchant customers' POS systems to determine the implications of this change. Consequently, people in Canada with mobile wallets such as Apple Pay, Google Pay, or Samsung Pay are now able to tap their devices when paying for groceries or anything else at amounts of up to US$250 without the need to touch a POS terminal PIN pad for sales over the previous US$100 limit. Voyager secures US$120 MLN investment for e-wallet service. A group of investors, including China-based Tencent and KKR, have announced an investment of up to US$120 million for Voyager Innovation, a Philippine-based tech company. Among the companies that joined the investment is asset management company IFC and its Emerging Asia Fund. The latest capital injection follows the group's initial investment into Voyager in 2018, which amounted to US$215 million. It's also part of a broader raise for the company, intended to support the growth of its online payments offering, PayMaya, according to Tech in Asia. Launched in 2015, PayMaya is an e-wallet that enables users to receive money, send remittances, pay bills, and make online payments. It also provides government units with digital payments and disbursement services. Launched in 2015, PayMaya is an e-wallet that enables users to receive money, send remittances, pay bills, and make online payments. It also provides government units with digital payments and disbursement services. One of PayMaya's main competitors in the Philippines is GCash, the e-wallet service offered by Globe Telecom. Canadian payments processor Acru acquires BNA Smart Payments. Canada-based payments provider Acru has entered into an agreement with BNA Smart Payment Systems, under which the former has acquired certain assets of BNA Smart Payments. Under the terms of the acquisition, Acru has acquired BNA's software and hardware payment solutions and all related customer contracts representing between US$35,000 and US$40,000 of monthly recurring revenue spread across automotive, retail, hospitality and petroleum merchants. BNA Smart Payments is a payment processing company for merchants across North America. BNA provides certified credit and debit payment solutions from various different payment processors, serving industries such as automotive, general retail, restaurant, entertainment and professional services. Acru provides merchants with cloud-based multi-currency marketing platform. Through a SaaS-based business model, Acru provides an in-store and online automated solution to help merchants process loyalty, gift card and promotional transactions at the point of sale, provide key administrative and marketing data, and to allow customers to access and manage their loyalty and gift card accounts. Acru also provides payment services to assist their merchants with utilizing Acru's technology solution and to provide a single point of contact for all of their primary merchant currencies. Rubian, Intertrust and others develop hardware-free MPOs for Android. Germany-based fintechs Rubian and CCV, along with Intertrust and Riskier, have announced the launch of a contactless payment app for Android. It should transform Android handsets running 8.0 Oreo or later into contactless payment terminals, supporting PIN entry with no additional hardware. The mobile app, Phone POS, will launch first in Germany and then roll out more broadly throughout Europe. According to Express Computes, the solution is developed to PCI CPoC standards and certified to Visa and MasterCard brand pilot programs, to be deployed through European-based acquiring banks, and offered as a service through CCV. Rubian and CCV have worked together to develop and deploy the seamless solution. Rubian's security and monitoring software meets the requirements of a smartphone-based card terminal. CCV's Accept PaaS payment as a service ecosystem is the solution for the new tap-on-phone system as it deploys most parts of the POS functionality to the cloud. This makes Phone POS a lightweight app with security and flexibility. Besides, Intertrust solutions have been employed to protect the encryption keys and provide application hardening, bringing a level of tamper resistance to the application itself. MasterCard works towards facilitating contactless payment limits in Middle East and Africa. MasterCard has announced that it is championing efforts to facilitate contactless payment limits across the Middle East and Africa region. The decision was taken as people look for safer ways to pay in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. The initiative is in line with recommendations from global and regional health authorities and governments to practice social distancing that has led a growing number of merchants to encourage consumers to pay with contactless over cash to avoid human-to-human contact. In MEA, the company has worked with various industry partners and sectors in multiple markets to facilitate the use of digital and contactless payment tech in an effort to offer safety, security, speed, and convenience in the payment experience for cardholders. In 2019, the MEA region saw more than 200% growth in contactless transactions, and today almost 1 in 9 MasterCard transactions at POS terminals in MEA are contactless. Moreover, MasterCard is working closely with its partners to enable businesses and retailers to implement contactless limit increases efficiently. Cardholder verification method (CVM) limits are being facilitated in Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Mauritius. Cardholders should look for the contactless symbol on the front or back of their credit or debit cards to determine whether they have a contactless-enabled card or can add their debit or credit card to their mobile wallets on their contactless-enabled devices to tap and pay where contactless payments are accepted. PXP Financial reveals research on generational outlook towards payments and betting. PXP Financial, a global expert in acquiring and payment processing services, has revealed a research into the payment habits of different generations of players in the online gaming and betting space. When securing the sentiments of each generation on their payment habits, PXP Financial found that millennials 1981-1995 are the biggest spenders and prefer to use debit payments. In contrast, Generation X 1965-1980 prefers to play with credit instead. January 2020's announcement of a credit card ban across the industry influenced the results of the research. Generation X had an increased negative response. Overall, each of the generations had a majority negative view on the regulation, leading to over 50% of the respondents citing it to be harmful to the sector. This sentiment survey was developed following PXP Financial's 2019 Are Payments the Key to Maximizing Gen Z Appeal for the High Street Research, which looked at the retail spending habits of Generation Z 1996-2012. Interestingly, the survey found that many respondents preferred shopping in-store to online and preferred to spend using digital currencies instead of cash. With regards to Generation Z, they have yet to have a significant impact on the online payments industry, primarily due to their age and financial capability. However, this is set to change as the group matures. And as for the perception of retail, millennials were found to lean more positively towards physical shopping, although it was nearly an even split. Generation X, on the other hand, vastly preferred the convenience of shopping online. Transaction volumes rise 74% rise in March 2020 compared to last year's period. An ACI worldwide analysis has revealed that transaction volumes in most retail sectors have seen a 74% rise in March compared to the same period last year, while online gaming has seen an increase of 97%. However, fraud is on the increase too, the research shows, as fraudsters are using the surge in online activity to target unsuspecting consumers and merchants. Merchants are starting to experience dramatic increases in COVID-19-related phishing activities, with stolen credentials released into the e-commerce payments chain, as well as increased friendly fraud activities. Key findings: online retailer sectors with rising transaction volumes in March 2020 compared to the previous year include home products and furnishings, plus 97%, DIY products, plus 136%, garden essentials, plus 163%, electronics, plus 26.6%, telco, plus 18.6%. Online retail sectors with declining transaction volumes in the same period, ticketing, minus 60%, travel, minus 44%, online dating, minus 8.9%. Average fraudulent attempted purchase value increased by US$36 in March, driven by electronic and retail goods. This corresponds to a fraudulent attempted transactional value increase by 13%. Fraudulent attempted transactional volume decreased by 8%, driven by increase of fraudulent attempt purchase value. Debbie Guerra, Executive Vice President at ACI, says that on the long run, the shift in consumer behavior opting for online purchases is likely to outlast the crisis. The industry is well ahead of the curve in adapting payment methods and ways to combat fraud in response to the changing behaviors and expectations of consumers, which are now being expedited by the lockdown. Open banking eyed to boost B2B FinServe value. Bank fintech collaboration is quickly becoming an essential component of facilitating small business loans as large lenders scramble to manage a surge of volume in Paycheck Protection Program loan applications. Beyond the US, B2B fintechs continue to explore the opportunity to take advantage of open banking regulations and functionality to expand the value in financial products and services, including commercial cards, small business accounting platforms, and payments. Take a look at the latest B2B open banking efforts below. Open banking's biz card opportunity. While commercial cards can offer a range of value propositions for business users, many of those benefits relate to processes after payment is already made. In a recent interview with PYMNTS, Payhawk co-founder and CEO Risto Borisov explained that the post-transaction opportunities of corporate cards exist in the ability to integrate with corporate bank accounts and wield financial data for analytics and reporting purposes. Open banking can be key to capturing those benefits, he said, noting that PayHawk's own offering that operates in cooperation with corporate bank accounts is a much more flexible, integrated experience because of open banking regulations in place in Europe. By connecting with businesses' existing banks, corporate card programs won't have to force bank switching, he noted. QR codes I overlooked open banking opportunity. Open banking is often discussed in the context of data sharing and integration, but there is a component to open banking regulations in the UK that could also have significant impacts on B2B payments, as TrueLayer Chief Compliance Officer and Chief Operating Officer Shefali Roy explained to PYMNTS. Open banking's payments initiation function enables third parties to initiate payment as a result of connecting to end users' bank accounts, with TrueLayer recently wielding this functionality for a QR code-powered business payment solution. Each week we see businesses from a wide variety of sectors find a way to incorporate open banking products into their offerings, said Roy, adding that QR codes are an excellent example of the innovation we will see on the back of payments initiation. Tink expands via M&A. Based in Sweden, open banking technology company Tink recently announced the takeover of Spain's Eurobits technology, a firm that offers account aggregation solutions. Eurobits' existing open banking solution facilitates more than 50 million transactions a month in Europe and Latin America, with integrations across a range of banks including Santander and BBVA. In a statement, Tink co-founder and CEO Daniel Kjeln said the acquisition will strengthen our platform through increased connectivity and give existing Eurobits customers access to our payment initiation and data services. Yapily raises VC for open banking tools. UK startup Yapily announced a nearly $13 million Series A funding round, reports in EU Startups said, led by Lakestar. Existing backers HV Holtzbrink Ventures and Local Global, as well as angel investors, also participated. Yapily aims to enable open banking adoption throughout Europe by powering bank account data connectivity for third-party financial service providers. One of its existing customers is Intuit QuickBooks, which has adopted the Yapily Application Programming Interface (API) to obtain deeper financial insights for its small business users. Industrial operations find new revenue streams in data sharing. Some of the most dramatic instances of technological innovation have occurred in recent years beyond the view of the end consumer. On factory floors and within warehouse walls, Internet of Things connected devices and artificial intelligence AI powered machines continue to press the US into the age of Industry 4.0. The data these smart devices generate can be exceptionally valuable to the owners of these operations, with businesses in complex industrial industries seeking to unlock deeper insights to optimize performance. But increasingly, these organizations are also finding it necessary to unlock data beyond the company itself, with opportunities to promote even greater efficiency in sharing information with business partners, suppliers, and customers. There are opportunities here for industrial firms and their vendors to open up new revenue streams and strengthen financial positions, says Duncan Greatwood, CEO of blockchain cybersecurity firm Sage Security. But in order to capture that value, organizations must challenge long-standing reservations about data sharing. A data rethink. For the businesses operating in complex industrial sectors, perhaps the biggest challenge in sharing data with suppliers is simply, they're just not used to doing it, Greatwood told PYMNTS in a recent interview. They've typically secured their systems by isolating them from the outside world, segmenting them. The amount of data flowing around a factory is vast. The amount of data flowing in and out may be very limited. But as these businesses move further to modernize and digitally transform their operations, breaking data free from those confines can be a way to strategically optimize the buyer-supplier relationship so long as that information remains secure. That means ensuring the owners of the machines and equipment generating valuable data remain in control of how and where that information is shared. Rather than aggregating this information into a single data pool, said Greatwood, technology today can provide control of data flows to prevent data breaches and other cybersecurity events, or data leaks with participants in the supply chain that should not have access to certain information. Just as important as retaining control, however, is ensuring the authenticity and integrity of that data as well. Once you start making real-world decisions based on this data, then you have to know it's for real, he said, pointing to Zage's recently announced dynamic data security offering, which ensures end users that information gathered from pieces of equipment like meters and other machines is not only accurate, but also hasn't been tampered with. New revenue streams. Sharing highly granular, deep data with suppliers offers a range of opportunities for optimization. Greatwood pointed to the ability for this information to optimize efficiencies within a factory by adjusting orders of certain products or materials from a supplier base, for example. But these vendors, many of which can be small businesses, can benefit greatly, too. In one example, Greatwood explained that an oil refinery may base its supplier payments on materials provided. Oil refineries can optimize their orders, while vendors can optimize deliveries for heightened payments. In another example, he pointed to the opportunity for this data to enable a supplier to optimize its product designs, again offering a mutually beneficial scenario for buyer and vendor. There are also opportunities to open up entirely new revenue streams, he said. The granular data obtained from sophisticated machines like wind turbines, for instance, could be sold to wind farm owners interested in obtaining operational insights and applying it to their other wind farms. This has traditionally been difficult to achieve in markets with such complex value chains and data security concerns. If you can't control the data, then you have a market failure where no one shares the data, said Greatwood, because no one knows what's going to happen with it. Driving digital transformations. In today's market climate of disruption, opening up a new revenue stream could support organizations' efforts to remain financially viable during times of uncertainty. But perhaps an even greater value proposition for these organizations today is in enabling the enterprise to accelerate their digital transformation journeys, according to Greatwood, who pointed to complex industrial areas pushed to enable remote workers even before the coronavirus pandemic, as organizations work to remove professionals from hazardous settings around factories and warehouses. The current market climate has encouraged businesses of all types to explore a renewed push to digitize, and as Greatwood noted, data sharing with external suppliers and business partners continues to become a growing priority. If you look at the digitization projects that people have contemplated over the last year or two, what does digital transformation mean? In an industrial setting, it means data sharing and reworking internal and external relationships around that data, he said. I think that the COVID-19 crisis is actually accelerating the determination to embrace that digital transformation, partly for revenue reasons, partly for efficiency and flexibility reasons. Bottom line CEO, how fintech gets creative to extend coronavirus relief. It's all hands on deck as companies across industries take measures to aid the national and global response to the coronavirus pandemic. While some firms are adjusting the assembly lines of their manufacturing warehouses to produce much-needed personal protective equipment, fintechs have found themselves in a different position to provide valuable assistance. For Bottomline Technologies, the opportunity emerged with Friday's launch of the $350 billion Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, under the CARES Act. Designed to provide capital to the many small to medium-sized businesses, SMBs, and employees that have been left in dire straits, the initiative was off to a rocky start at its launch last Friday, with only two major financial institutions, FIS, able to accept applications, and the banking community at large struggling to cope with a lack of logistical clarity and an anticipated surge in demand that threatens to overwhelm systems. In a conversation with Karen Webster, Bottomline CEO Rob Eberle discussed how the company came to launch a solution designed to ease the loan application burden on both banks and borrowers and described the role of B2B fintechs elsewhere as market disruption forces finance teams to prioritize their digitization efforts. Easing the PPP loan burden. The company does not traditionally offer loan origination software for banks, but with its digital account opening capabilities already in place, the fintech was able to wield its technology to facilitate the PPP lending process for FIS. Bottomline Technologies announced last week that it has tailored its account opening solution into a platform through which lenders can free of cost digitally collect all of the information on an SMB required to process a PPP loan application. For banks and SMBs that may have traditionally relied on physical branches to process these applications, a secure online platform can be instrumental. This is particularly true when it comes to onboarding a new customer and managing the required Know Your Customer (KYC) validation processes, a hurdle that has reportedly led at least one FI to prioritize existing SMB clients over unfamiliar ones when processing PPP loan applications. "You've got a situation where access to the branches is limited," said Eberly. "How are they going to receive loan documentation? By fax or paper? We're helping to facilitate that origination and all of the documentation that's required in this process, because you could have a situation where a small business doesn't have a banking relationship with somebody who's providing these loans." Prioritizing B2B payments digitization. While Bottomline found a way to develop a new solution to help SMBs and banks during this time, the fintech has also found itself in a position to aid companies with the technology it already has. As remote teams settle into the new normal of remote work, finance teams may begin to take this moment as an opportunity to prioritize their modernization efforts. "No doubt, this will accelerate the digital transformation of business payments," said Eberly. For decades, accounts payable (AP) departments have stuck with paper checks and manual data entry, and while their organizations may have been interested in AP automation, the time was never right to make the switch. Yet as more finance teams find themselves struggling to optimize workflows from their remote workspaces, unable to cut and send out checks and challenged to maintain data flows with suppliers, Eberly said the longstanding inertia of the status quo that prevented AP automation efforts has lifted, giving way to digital transformations driven by the need to automate and embrace the cloud. "This shift is being fueled from both ends of the B2B transaction," noted Eberly. The other piece that's coming out of this is the importance on the vendor side of the visibility into receiving payment, he said. "If it's not already, this will be a liquidity crisis for many firms. They're asking, when am I getting paid? Do I have visibility into that? Unprecedented circumstances, unprecedented action." That cash flow visibility remains critical to companies of all sizes and industries, although Eberly noted that the pain is felt more acutely among some firms than others. As businesses establish new operational routines, there is an opportunity for firms to take an introspective moment and consider whether they may be in a position to help in some way, too. In today's environment, Eberly noted three categories of businesses. The first are companies that are on fire for survival, the hotels and restaurants hit hard by the coronavirus crisis that must remain focused on cutting expenses, strengthening liquidity, and making it through another day. The second are firms that are attempting to operate as normal to hit their earnings and expansion goals. Both categories stand to gain from automated financial technologies. In the third category are the companies in a position to help others, whether through reconfiguring their business models or launching new products to assist in various ways. Bottomline is in this category, said Eberly, adding that he hopes more firms will find themselves in a similar position. But for businesses to make the most of their contributions, they must innovate and think outside the box of their traditional operations and offerings. "We did something a little different, something we've never done before," said Eberly. "But, then, none of us has been through a circumstance like this in our lifetimes." This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.